Brilliant from Kennedy. Couldn't resist the shot. That's gone in off the defender.
The chairman, you lose your little player. And it's in. It's a goal from Gilmour. Jimmy Gilmour has scored for Falkirk.
Finnegan's cross. Stephen Thompson. Falkirk have the lead after a quarter of an hour.
McKenzie slips. It goes straight to McGuffey. McGuffey shoots from his own half. And that is incredible.
He's taking them all on here. Catch him if you can. You can't. That is amazing. That is phenomenal. A touch of individual inspiration from Kevin McAllister.
This is Falkirk Daft.
Hello and welcome to Falkirk Daft, and yet again it's a bit of a special podcast this week. We've done a few of these so far and really looking forward to this one. It's Falkirk Daft meets Sam McGivern, a man who played 153 games and got 37 goals for the club. And another, you know, Ross has got his nickname after it, the Ginger God of Pod. We've got the Ginger God himself on right now. How you doing, Sam?
All good, John. Yep, absolutely delighted to have been, first of all, asked on and getting the opportunity to speak to you two dafties for a wee while. That would be brilliant.
You've got that right. We missed you at the Fortress Brockville night, so we thought, let's catch up with you now, get the stories from you, because I'm sure you've got a few to tell.
No, there could be a few to tell. There'll probably be some that I'm not going to answer to as well, right enough, but you can carry on anyway.
Brilliant.
Fantastic. Well, Sam, honestly, I know John's already said it, but and I've said this to you probably about 1,000 times in person.
And when he's drunk and texting you at night, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Massive hero of mine, and a proper fan girl in here as well. So this is good. Sam, obviously, before we start talking about Brockville though, and everything that went on there, obviously, Falkirk, as we record just now, this is a Sunday, the day after the Accies game. Falkirk's having an absolute belter of a season now. What have you made of this season so far?
I'm thrilled, and I think we're nearly there. I know we shouldn't kind of be a wee bit early with expectations and things like that, but I think after yesterday, we're pretty much there. 3-0 up at half-time yesterday, and I know that they got back into the game. I know there's a wee bit of controversy over, you know, maybe their first goal. I'm not so sure about it, to be fair. You know, when you see the highlights of the game and you see somebody definitely did step up, yeah. It looked such an obvious offside, Ross, but I'm not really sure if it was. But it put us in the back foot a wee bit. Obviously, when they got their second one as well, it's kind of squeaky bum time.
Yeah.
But to be fair, we should have had the game finished at half-time again, you know, but I think if this had been a game in the last 4 or 5 years, we'd have drawn or lost that. Mm. The mentality's different. We could have scored a few more goals yesterday, even when they did get back into the game. So, false scoreline for me. I think we thoroughly deserved it. I'm sure everybody was getting a wee bit anxious in the stadium. But, you know, I was kind of all right with that yesterday. Yeah. I was confident we were going to be okay. And it's probably to do with, you know, John McGlynn and Paul Smith's, I think that they've definitely got the players. Their attitude's different. You know, let's face it, you know, they're seeing games out when before, I think, as I said earlier, we could have lost or drawn that one.
Absolutely, and I think you're right. I think there is a different vibe. Even though there was a little bit of nervousness when it went to 3-2, as you said, there was also that quiet confidence in the, and not a quiet confidence, but a loud confidence in the crowd and in the feeling in the stadium.
Yeah.
Do you know what? We're going to hang on to this or we're going to extend the lead. We didn't, but we could well have, as you said, we could have easily scored 5 or 6 yeah. goals today across the piece.
We had 2 or 3 great opportunities at 3-2, you know, to really put it to bed. To be fair, I think even if they'd got it to 3-each, I think it would have been hellish, but I think we could still have, I think we'd have still have been okay. Yeah. I think that the players are certainly learning. It makes a hell of a difference as well that, you know, we've got the continuity in what we all feel is the right start 11. Mm. And I think that we'd have seen it out okay even if they'd got another one back. But as I said, you know, we had so many chances just to put it to bed yesterday. and 3-0 up at half time, you know, you think it's all byway, but you know, we've all been there. We've all played in these games, and you know, when another team starts coming back at you, Hamilton, they're decent, you know, and they're strong. And I know there's been a wee bit of moaning about them kicking us all over the park yesterday, but you know what? Needs must.
Yeah.
If I was manager of Hamilton Accies, I would have had their players telling them to do whatever they had to do to get back into the game as well.
Totally.
And you have to, you just have to deal with it. You know, you do have to deal with it. They were a wee bit ruthless at times, but hey, I'm all right with that. That's what I would have said to the players to get back into the game as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's great that you obviously still follow the club, Sammy. I mean, you were at the club for 7 years. You were brought up in Kilwinning, weren't you? You were born in Kilwinning. Who did you follow as a kid?
My PE teacher played with Kelly.
Right.
So that was my grounding was I wanted to play with Kelly. And I was my grounding was first of all Salkett Star through my local town in Salkotes. We were managed by Stevie Clark's dad. And believe it or not, Stevie Clark's dad's funeral tomorrow, which is hellish. I'll be going to that. So he was my first manager in boys football. So me and Stevie left Salkett Star and went to Springside together up near Kilmarnock. And we travelled for 2 years together playing with them. And then we went we're different ways. I went to Kilmarnock, he went to St Mirren. And that was my grounding down in this area, John. We Salkett Star, and then we went to Springside, and then Kilmarnock Boys Club picked me up, and Stevie went to St Mirren. So yeah, that was your grounding down here. You know, you kind of followed where if you were going to want to improve, you had to go elsewhere, and it was a bus 3 times a week for me and Stevie, 50 minutes or something during the week, traveling to Springside to play.
I mean, you mentioned Stevie Clark there, Sammy, but I mean, you obviously had, when you were a youth, you won a European youth tournament, and you were playing alongside Mick Stay and Nevin, Eric Black, Gary Mackay, all these greats.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of clubs kind of sniffing about you, but you end up coming to Falkirk.
I ended up at Falkirk.
you were part time and you fancied a crack at full time football, is that right? Is that how you ended up with us?
To be fair, 5.5 years of difficult times for me at Kilmarnock. I wanted to go full-time, John, and that was at a time when the Bosman ruling wasn't with us. And if the club offered you the same terms or no less terms than what you were on, you had to sign.
Right.
You know, in employment law now, that's never be allowed to happen. And for 5.5 years I was at Kilmarnock, I was trying to get away. And I don't mean to be horrible about that, but I wanted to play full-time football.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I went to Falkirk that I learned about the amount of teams that had been in for me prior. And that's no a nice feeling.
But, I know, I mean, there was talk about Nottingham Forest, Southampton, all these teams that we were looking at.
Yeah. Well, I was down at Forest when I was at school twice on trial and thoroughly enjoyed it. Played with the third team when I was 15 years old. But you know, the opportunity came along to sign with Kilmarnock, and they gave me a job in the ground staff and all that. So it was kind of leaving school, and you know, where is my future? What am I going to do? I didn't want to play football, and then I thought, you know, if I go to Kilmarnock, then I get the chance of moving on or whatever. But 5.5 years was tough. I'm not saying I didn't enjoy my time at Rugby Park, but it was 5.5 years that I wanted to move on to better things, and. And fortunately for me, at the end up, it was Falkirk. And I wouldn't have changed that for the world.
And it was Billy Lamont that brought you in, wasn't it?
Billy Lamont brought me in, and we were in the Premier League at the time. And my first game was against Celtic at Parkhead, having signed in the Friday the Saturday morning.
Wow.
It was mad. So went to Billy's bit for my lunch with him and his wife before I got taken to Parkhead for my first game. Yep. Brilliant.
How did the move come about? Did you hear? Did obviously because I don't know how it would have been back in the day. Sammy, was it phone calls between the managers or was
on a Friday night, Ross?
Right,
on the Saturday, and it was Billy that phoned me because Eddie Morrison was a Kilmarnock manager. Eddie was really good to me, to be fair, as was Jim Clooney prior to that. Eddie phoned me. Billy phoned me at Friday night. All right, son. Who's this? Billy Lamont here, Falkirk manager. I said, all right. He says, I'm going to be signing you tomorrow morning. Can you get to Rugby Park and get your boots?
That's amazing.
I thought, well, I didn't drive at the time. And I thought, well, so I made a phone call to the club and was able to get my boots. And we went to the SFA offices to do the signing. And it was meant to be myself. And I think it was $35,000, I think it was. And Rab Stewart was meant to go for Falkirk to Kilmarnock as well as part of the deal. So Billy Lamont, being as crafty as Billy Lamont is, got my deal all done and sorted. And Eddie Morrison was probably a wee bit less experienced in getting deals done probably at that time. And so Rab Stewart decided to knock back Kilmarnock's offer to him. And Eddie Morrison said to Billy Lamont, well, that's it, the deal's off. If we're not getting Robert, then we're not doing it. Billy Lamont says to him, Eddie, I think you'll find I've already signed him, so you're a bit too late. the deal was done. I was going to Falkirk and Rab didn't go.
He went
to Falkirk. He didn't go to Kilmarnock.
Oh, really?
And the deal was done at the price agreed.
There must have been a bit of pressure on you, because obviously you came in as a replacement for Alan Irvine. Sammy, who'd moved down to Liverpool and was obviously a great at Falkirk. So did you immediately feel that there was pressure on you when you arrived at the club?
Probably not. I knew Alan had done well. I knew where he'd went, things like that. But you can't even begin to start thinking about things like that. You know, you're thrown into the game at Parkhead, and you know all you're going to have to be doing is chasing people. Mm. You know, you're going to be chasing shadows at Parkhead. We got beat 4-2 that day. And then my first game at Brockville was against Dundee United. And we beat them 2-1, and we were excellent that day. And I was lucky to score my first goal. That was my first Falkirk goal at home, the Premier League, against Dundee United. I'm sure it's Peter Harrison scored a cracking free kick to put us up 2-1. I'm not saying I was off and running, because it took a wee while before I was probably... became a wee bit more a better goal scorer after that. But, you know, it was a good start for me. And probably the fans took to me straight away, which was brilliant.
Sammy, obviously, as you mentioned, your first game at Parkhead, your first day as a Falkirk player was away from home. You would have then came to Brockville ahead of the Dundee United game. What was your first impressions of Brockville?
I enjoyed playing there all the time, Ross, to be perfectly honest. I loved the fact, I mean, you can imagine how vast Rugby Park felt compared to Brockville. Mm. You know, one of the biggest pitches in Scotland, big areas, terraces and things like that. And I know how big they are, because I used to paint all the fences there. and it was amazing. You know, I always felt good playing at Brockville for Kelly. And it was a no-brainer. But it was full time, you know, it was what I wanted anyway. And would I have said yes to anyone that was full time? I don't know. You know, I don't know. I was desperate to go full time, but would I have said yes to somebody else? I can't answer that. It was Falkirk that came in, and I'm glad it was. I was really looking forward to playing on that kind of tight kind of park and with the crowd on top of you. Because I was always kind of felt welcome going there with Kilmarnock, you know, with the Falkirk fans, and I don't know why. They took to me before I even signed for them.
Hindsight, they knew, Sam.
Oh, they must have done. They must have knew I was going to come. That must have been it. But to be fair, I, you know that some of them do still bring up. I don't know if you remember the day that we played there with Kelly, and it was the bomb scare. And all the fans had to vacate the stands and come onto the park.
I didn't know that.
I'm disappointing you two guys. So we Kelly won that day 1-0 at Brockville, and I scored. Big Dempsey made a wee bit of mistake at the back, Big Jimmy, and I went in and scored by George Watson. And I don't know whether. I'm not saying the Falkirk fans took to me that day, but that day I really enjoyed playing on the pitch and playing with the atmosphere. But no, every member of the crowd had to go into the pitch with the players, because it was an actual real telephone call of a bomb scare. Wow. And I think it was, to be fair, that it was the times there was loads of troubles over the water and things like that, and everything was getting taken seriously.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened that day. So there'll be plenty of Falkirk fans who do remember that. So
that is a brilliant.
You two are right down in the history of the club now. You both of you will tell you.
To be fair, I've seen plenty of bomb scares at Brockville myself, you know. I'll be honest with you.
I so have I, John.
We'll come with that. We'll come back to that question, Sam. You know, we're going to ask you who was the worst bomb scare you saw.
The first part of your career, you had a few injuries and stuff, Sammy, and you probably didn't hit the heights that you wanted to.
Absolutely.
But it all kind of changed. I think you've given a lot of credit to Jim Jeffries and Billy Brown when they came in.
They through them and one of the directors that they got me sent to a chiropractor, who was she was an American lady down in Saltcoats, and she worked with the USA Olympic team at one time, but. Unfortunately, the chiropractors weren't recognised with the British Medical Association at the time. And I went down to get treatment from her. And it was on the say-so of one of the directors who was friends, obviously, with Jim Jeffries. And within weeks, she sorted out the problem that I had the whole time I was at Brockville prior to that. It was an ongoing lower back injury that was causing me all sorts of problems down one side of my body. It was hamstring strains and calf strains and Achilles strains and all that, but it was on the one side, and they sent me to this lady, and oh my God, the difference was unbelievable. That she recognised what my issue was, and really I went on to have the season of my life, in my career, under Jim Jeffries. But it all came about going to see this chiropractor down in Saltcoats.
So, Sammy, see, obviously you mentioned a female chiropractor from Saltcoats. Mm-hmm. Is this leading to a Saltcoats story at all, or is she not involved?
I don't know what you're getting at. I'm sure we'll have a wee chat about that within our 50 minutes that we've got, or whatever it is. But I'm not sure about that one yet.
Do you know what I work with Jim Duffy on Clyde One, Sammy, and I've always wanted to go. So what happened there? Come on, tell us the Saltcoats story.
Well, can I just say that I don't believe that the Saltcoats issue was the reason that Jim Duffy lost his job at Falkirk. In my opinion, that was happening anyway. And it was just nothing about it timing-wise or the incident that happened. In my honest opinion, Jim Duffy was losing his job at Falkirk, regardless of what happened down at Saltcoats. And to this day, I've always maintained that I would never change that night.
It was
absolutely that good. We good friends that were down, and they were all staying at Babbitt. I wouldn't change it for the world. We were just ordinary guys out for a night out, and some folk decided to have a wee pick on us. And I wouldn't change it for the world, and I know that's maybe not the right thing to say, but I've always been very, very honest, and they were good friends, and we were out for a night out, and as I say, I can't change it. It's happened, and do I regret it? No.
Whose choice?
I can say at 60 years old, I don't regret it.
Whose choice was it for a night out in Saltcoats anyway, Sammy?
Well, I invited them. I didn't invite the trouble that ensued, but again, you know, sometimes, you know, as I say, getting back to Jim Duffy, I had a lot of time for him. He came in at 29 years old, with players who had a wee bit of experience and things like that, and you know what, I liked his style.
Yeah.
I liked his style of management. I think
with some player as well.
Oh, absolutely. I hated playing against him as well, to be perfectly honest. But the team that he put together, I think we should have won the league.
Yeah.
I think it was probably not quite as good as, well, it wasn't as good as the 1991. So that would have been the 89, or was it? Or 89-90 team? Jim's
89 teams, Sammy.
Is that right? Yeah. So we that was a strong side. That was a good side. You know, and Manly and Burgess together was outstanding. It really was. And then you've got Alec Ray coming through, you've got John Gallagher coming through, and McWilliams. It was a decent side. And it was hellish the day, the second last game of the season when we played it. I think it was McDermott, and we beat them 1-0. And we'd been given the wrong score after the game for the Dunfermline game. And we thought we had really with a great chance of winning the league. Yeah. And it just wasn't to be. But I had a lot of respect for Jim Duffy. But things were going wrong just before he lost his job on the park.
Yeah.
And so if people are in of the, including Jim Duffy, wants to blame Salk, they can carry on. It's, you know, it's a long, long time ago, Ross. You know what I mean? So, I'm good with whatever MD wants to blame, but I won't change that night for anything.
Sammy, you obviously mentioned 1990-91 there, which, me personally, I know I've said this to you before, that still...
Drunken texts again at night as well.
Exactly. sweet nothings over text. That highlight of my, probably still, of my Falkirk supporting time. Is that for you, sort of the pinnacle that you had at Falkirk, do you think?
Absolutely, Ross. It's dead hard to gauge when I moved on about how good we became after that, though, because I wasn't a part of it. Were the players a year and 2 years after that, or 3 years after that, better? I don't know if they were a better team. I think that the quality of player after that was getting better all the time.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking then bringing in, you know, your Kevin McAllister. Kevin came in just before I left, but, you know, we're talking about the year later or 2 years later.
Yeah.
Richie Cadet, Brian Rice, and, you know, so you're talking, Ian McCall, you're talking about proper quality players.
Yeah.
Were they a better side? You know, it's up to the fans to decide that, for you two guys to decide that as punters, you know, whether they were. I know we excited the fans with that team 1981, you know, and we stayed in that lineup, you know, and the influence he had over all of us, and the influence he was allowed to have over us by the management team. But, you know, I think it would be hard to beat as a team.
Yeah.
Were the players individually better a year and 2 years and 3 years later? Very possibly. But we were a unit.
Yeah.
And we stuck together.
Yeah, you mentioned Simon Stainrod there, Sam. And people will forget this, but in that season, you actually finished above Simon in terms of goals. You had 18 to his 16. Miles, and people forget miles. That.
Oh, God. You know, no way he was doing that without me. That wasn't the heart. He wouldn't have been as good as that. With him. No, kidding on. He was involved in plenty of my goals that season as well. I know three of mine's on the Scottish Cup, and he does remind me of that. That he had more league goals that season than I did. I keep in touch with the big man regularly through these texts back and forward and things like that. But, you know, but he's credited with that season for me, and quite rightly so. That wouldn't have happened for me if he hadn't been there. Would Simon been as good for us if I wasn't there? That's debatable as well, you know, because somebody's going to have to do the work that he wasn't going to do. I was well up for that. You know, I'm okay with that. If you're getting paired up with somebody who was on the bench for England, the Maracana, then, you know, if I need to do a wee bit of donkey work for somebody like that, then that was the kind of attitude I had. That was okay with me.
He had an awful lot of love for you, Sammy. We've heard that over the years. More recently, when it was the night at the Enshirer last year as well, which, let's face it, we knew Simon was going to love that night.
Well, he slated me as well, to be fair at times, right enough.
But he did, but he had a lot of love for you. He had an awful lot of love for you.
You know what? The very fact that he made me his assistant manager when we were at Ayr United together. He made me captain first and then assistant manager. Simon wouldn't he do something like that if he thought you were going to let him down or anything. You know, he wouldn't he just do it out of sentiment or anything. You know, that's not the type of guy he is. You know, because he's not going to want to lose his job because he's put some idiot and work alongside him. But no, you know what? We complimented each other, and I'm chuffed to hell with the way he speaks about me. You know, ever since then, the things he says. So I'll take that for somebody who has standing in the game.
Go on, we need to mention the hat trick against Airdrie, Sammy. Come on, I know you love to talk about that.
What, was that with Falkirk? I don't remember that. Right? Okay, so yeah, one of the strangest days of my life, John, to be fair. You know, I've said it before, and I don't know if you guys have heard it, but it was a day that I felt as though for some reason I was possessed. I bring myself down a wee bit about certain aspects of my game when I played, but you know, I got to know the guys I played with fairly well and about what they were going to do in a game and where they were going to put the ball and things like that. I think I was quite good at reading, you know, the game probably more than I was about controlling a football and things like that. But, you know, when Deeks and Simon and Tom McQueen and guys like that are getting into a good position, I tended to know where they were going to put it. And certainly, I think more so, I'll just go off the track with the day at Airdrie a wee bit. The night we played Air United, at Brockville, the live sky, the first live.
Oh, the 4-2 one. The 4-2 game.
4-1. 4-1 game.
4-1. Yeah.
You know, I don't know how I knew that night as well that Simon was going to hit the ball outside his right foot when he crossed it in for my diving header, but yeah. I did know. And I'm thinking he's going to show off here.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like that, and the same way my second goal at Broomfield that day with Deeks. I just knew that there was no way he was going to chip it or he was going to fire it in low near post for the diving header one. And similarly, Tommy McQueen's one. And what I meant by possessed, when Tommy McQueen's cross came over, I thought it was far, far too high for me. And I set off my jump against Big Jim Smith. And how I got above him, I don't know. And the distance I travelled forward to actually header it, I don't know how that happens. But probably one of the best days of my life. Yep, absolutely. And even better that Stainrod didn't score that day. it was a day that was required as well. But we don't win that day. We don't win the league that year. You know, the week before when we drew 2-2 at Dundee, when it was quite foggy up there. I don't know if any of you guys were at that game, but we were excellent that day, and that was what kick-started it. Kick-started the run we went on. Over and above the fact that Alec Taylor and Tommy were brought in,
I agree with you, Sam. We needed to because Airdrie were top of the league
by a good margin.
I totally agree with you. I think we had to. And you talk about you being possessed, you were talking about the team there being like almost telepathic at points. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's for me still the best 11 or 14 that we've had because. Everybody knew how everybody was going to play, and it just clicked every single, not every week at the beginning, but towards from took like a third of the way in to the end. It was just perfect. It was perfect.
But there was a few decisions made as well, Ross, on route to between the time you're talking and the end of the season that, again, because Airdrie were so good that season, because Dundee were so good that season, there was a few things happened as well. Great managership. Great decisions for the management team. Eddie May coming in. Big Peter Godfrey coming in, stopgap at centre back. If these things don't happen, I think it was that tight at the time that I don't know if we would have went on to win it. And do you know what? It'd have been one of the worst things ever if that team didn't win the league that season.
Yeah.
But his decision to bring in Eddie May at that timing of that was incredible. And as I say, Big Peter coming in for the last maybe what 8 or 9 games.
Yeah.
What a difference. It steadied everything at the back. Because I think there was a couple of injuries. Because I think we only used about 16 or 17 players that season.
That's mad, isn't it? In the modern game, when you think about it, that's absolutely mental.
Well, when you think that they can use 16 or 17 any Saturday now.
Aye.
You know what I mean? So it was... It was mad. It really was. And as I say, the day Airdrie, and for me after the game to go out with a few of the Airdrie players after it was a bit surreal as well. Because Sammy Conn was one of my best pals, God rest him. And I would go out with him and some of the Airdrie boys after the game. And it was great. It really was. But it was a day, and it kind of. It kind of started a good run that we went on, and you just felt you just could feel the fan base all coming back.
Mm-hmm. Did you take the match ball
was actually given to charity.
Mm. For Big Gordy, I think, wasn't it?
Sorry,
was that eventually you went to the Big Gordy's fund, didn't it? The bottle.
I think the money I did do, that's exactly yeah. when it was Tommy Logan that bought it.
Yeah.
And I got it put in a case for Tommy. So then like him to pay that kind of money for a stupid football, to be fair. I've kept in touch with Tommy because he'd done that as well. I got a few games of golf with him. So it's really nice that it went to, you know, a fan, because believe it or no, that the day of that game at Airdrie, I think it was the first day that Tommy's dad had took him to a game.
Oh, brilliant.
And he was there that day. Wow. So brilliant. Yeah, absolutely.
What was it like making then, once you won the league, Sammy, what was it like making a step up into the Premier League then?
I knew I was under pressure straight away, John. Probably doubted myself a wee bit about whether I could make the step up, and I've started to feel the back getting sore again a wee bit, and suffered for a few injuries. Played a lot of games without scoring, and then Crunchy came. Wee Kevin came, and Simon moved on, and Richie Cadet came in as well. And I think I scored 4 goals in the last 5 games or something like at the end of the season in the Premier League, and started feeling really, really good about it again. Mm. But I had a bit of a rubbish season, to be perfectly honest. And actually, I was playing in the middle of the park for a while. I was playing in midfield for it. And I was playing in midfield the day that Simon scored the goal against St Johnson at McDermott for halfway.
Yeah.
And I'd had a few games in the middle of the park, and I think that I was put in there for my work rate kind of thing, you know what I mean? And I'd always put myself about. But it was a kind of sore season for me, having come off what we did. But do you know what? See if I'd scored a couple of goals early doors, I think it could have been a good one.
Yeah,
I really do, but didn't happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. That just happens in football. I was just lucky that I did have the season before. But I was delighted with the way that the season ended, because we stayed up in the Premier with 5 games to go. We beat Motherwell 1-0 at Fir Park. I scored that day, which was great as well. And we stayed up. So I kind of felt at the end of the season, because I had 4 goals in 5 games, that contributed a wee bit.
Yeah.
But no, it was a bit of a sore season. So it was.
Because that first sort of full season back in the Prem, Sam, we then would have had the summer period, and then it was, you were still at the club for another sort of 6 months after that. Had there been any conversations with Jim in terms of your future, or was it all just a bit carry on as we are?
To be fair, Ross, I was probably playing the reserves, or still training with the first team all the time, things like that. But
yeah,
you know, when you're kind of left out of things, it's not a great feeling. Never any animosity, to be fair. I never went banging on the manager's door. I was still playing really well in the reserves, things like that. But I think I realised, and I think the manager realised, it was maybe time to move on. And George Burley came in for me at Air United. I went down there and had a decent wee period doing it here as well. You know, but it's a bit strange when you think about 18 goals in the league to help us get promotion, and a right good side.
Yeah.
And the season after I went down here, at 15 goals, and a team that, you know, weren't quite as good as the Falkirk team, and to have 18 goals in the championship. 15 goals in the championship, we're United, was decent.
Yeah.
You know, it really was. But Falkirk were flying that year. That was the year Falkirk went up. They were flying.
I was waiting to say, because obviously that did coincide, because I remember going down to Somerset, season 93-94.
Right.
You would have been there, obviously.
Yeah.
Playing up against, what was it, Neil Duffy would have been at the back.
Absolutely, all the boys.
Joe McLaughlin,
all the boys.
All the
yep.
boys.
And just realise how strong they were, Ross.
It was weird seeing you in an airstrip.
well, you know, I've
got broke Ross's heart, Sammy. It broke Ross's heart. He went crying away that most nights.
I seen a picture the other day when I was captain at Ayr and we were playing Falkirk. I think it was at Brockville, actually. And Yogi was the captain for Falkirk. I'm the captain for Ayr. The wee ball boy standing, the referee standing. And I'm like, there's something all right about that picture.
That's weird.
And it was me standing in the airstrip, definitely. But I enjoyed my time down there as well. And every time I came back to Falkirk, or the Falkirk fans were down at Ayr, I'm still well received, which is nice.
I mean, Sammy, you've recently, with all your achievements that you had at Falkirk, you've got your face emblazoned on the stands now. One of the six legends that are on that stand now. How does that make you feel when you turn up at the stadium and you go, ah, there you are, I'm up there?
Unbelievable. And you know, it's funny because when I was contacted by the club to say that it was happening, I didn't really know what their intentions were or how it was going to be up in the stand, and you know, and you think to yourself, you know, that you're going to have to be sponsored to be up there as well, you know, and the company's going to have to come in. And I've actually spent a wee bit of time with the company that I've sponsored my bit in the North Stand. And that was really nice as well. Me and my wife spent time with the folk for the company that are sponsoring us. And it was absolutely brilliant. So I really chuffed. You know, when I think about who has played with the club and things like that, it's weird to think that I'm still as well received or even more received. Better received now with the club than probably was when I played with them, and it's really, really strange, but nice. It's really nice, and to be in that stand with, you know, Tiger McLaughlin and Russell Latapy and Simon Stainrod, Andy Nicol, it's just frightening, and to meet the legends that are put up for that, it's great. It really is. It's really nice.
That was a brilliant picture. Back at the start, was it back at the start of this season, wasn't it? When the Dundee United game, I think it was, and there was yourself, Tiger, and Yogi was there. It was brilliant. Brilliant to see.
You have no idea how many fake email addresses Ross set up to make that happen as well, Sammy.
See, to be fair, guys, I hadn't spent much time with Tiger, with John McLaughlin prior to that, and to sit that night with some of the companies that sponsored the stand, and sit with him and his wife, which was fantastic.
You didn't mention Alex Ferguson.
Whatever you do, don't mention Alex Ferguson to Tiger McLaughlin, Sammy. We found that out at the Fortress Novel night. Do not mention Alex Ferguson.
Okay. You know, that's the first thing I'll say to him when I see him the next time. Definitely. But him and his wife were brilliant, honestly. And it was great to see Andy Nicol. I'm not saying Andy was an underrated player because, you know, when you think about, you're still looking at games just now and, you know, looking for blame in games when somebody makes a big mistake, especially how much the game has changed and we're playing out for the back and, you know, the goalkeeper is so involved and your centre-backs are so involved. I don't remember Andy Nicol making a mistake in a game that cost us a game. I don't ever remember
that.
He was
stalwart, wasn't he?
Absolutely.
Proper stalwart, he was.
Do you know what I mean? And I know we're back three or we're back five have been fantastic this season. They really have. There's been a couple of wee mistakes in there, which is going to happen because of the way we're being asked to play. But Andy Nicol was never one of the ones that made a mistake. If that ball had to get planted elsewhere, then it did. And, you know, you think back, you know, your big Crawford and, well, Yogi did get the ball down a wee bit and trying to play, to be fair, but most of the guys I've played with, you know, when they're playing at the back, they know what their position is, they know where their place is in the team. Well, to be fair, Big Manley thought he was a better player as well, to be fair. He liked to pass it about. But, you know, by and large, you know, your defender should defend, and that's what Andy Nicol done, and he was fantastic at it.
was.
Right. Well, so we've got some quick fire questions for you now, Sammy, if you don't mind indulging us just about your time at the club. That'd be great. What's the funniest shout you've ever heard from the crowd when you've been playing? Have you anything stand out?
The funniest shout? To be fair, probably one of the funniest ones was when I was actually at Kilmarnock and I was overtaking corners for Kelly against Falkirk at the time. And some of these shouts were absolutely unbelievable, but they were in kind of in a nice way, and that probably one of the things that endeared me to the Falkirk fans at the time. It was probably mostly about my mop of hair or something like that, but there was one that went for a long time as well, somebody in the stand that kept shouting chicken legs to me and things like that, you know what I mean? My big muscly legs and everything, but I don't, other than getting severe stick off away opposition, I've never had any real crazy ones for the Falkirk fans, to be fair. I've always been all right with them. They thought my body was in decent proportion, I think.
Good stuff. Best dressing room story, Sammy?
Best dressing room story? Well, everybody would like you to believe that it's about something about Yogi and Simon boxing all the time.
Yeah.
You know what? The two of them weren't that interesting. They'd be standing knocking hell at each other in that dressing room. None of the rest of us gave a monkeys about it. You know, they were seeking attention.
Yeah.
Honestly, the two of them, and they were knocking lumps at you. They're knocking hell at each other. And the rest of us weren't giving a damn for what they were up to. They thought they were that important that we'd all be sitting clapping and enjoying it. Nobody cared. Mm-hmm. Nobody bothered about them. But it was real. I mean, they were hitting each other.
I wouldn't have fancied my chances against Yogi. Simon must have fancied himself.
Simon was solid, John.
Simon
really?
Oh, Simon was solid. Yeah. Aye. He was in the gym a lot. He became quite pally with a boy doing at Area United who ran a gymnasium. And he, Stainrod spent a lot of time in the gym. To be fair, Yogi was pretty solid as well. But, you know, it's a toss of a coin between the two of them.
Oh, really? Wow.
Aye.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I need to ask you who the best manager you were working on. I'm assuming the answer is Jim Jeffries after you spoke to, about him. Who was the worst manager to work under?
Oh, God. Do you know what? Every manager I've probably played under has been pretty good to me, John.
Yeah.
You know, and it, worst manager in my time at Falkirk, this would be something the Falkirk fans will probably agree with, but no, because I didn't like him. You know, it wasn't because of that, but David Clark's ideas in the game, you know, they weren't what Falkirk wanted or needed at that time. Were very defensive, very negative.
Yeah.
But Davey was good to me. And whenever I was available fit to play, he would play me. But when he played himself, he played 25 yards behind his centre half as a sweeper. Wow. And that's the way he kind of had you set up. You know, everything was about not losing goals, no losing games. Mm. But it wasn't pretty. To be fair, at the end of that season, we stayed up against Celtic at Parkhead, which was good.
Jimmy Gilmore?
Jimmy Gilmore's 25-yard thunderbolt into the top corner.
You scored first, though, didn't you?
I scored after 40 seconds, yeah.
Yeah, people forget that as well, Sam.
Yeah, get that in. we flick on for Big Crawford. So that was the day that David Haye got sacked that night.
Yeah,
that's right.
I mean, Celtic weren't going to win the league anyway, but I think mathematically they could still have, but Rangers won the league that day.
Yeah.
And David Haye actually got sacked that night, I think. We had two games left, Aberdeen away and Celtic away, and we had to win one of them to have any chance of staying up. We're down.
What a night out that was, surely.
You know what, we'd done well that day. You know, I know there wasn't a massive crowd, there wasn't a massive pressure. Well, there was massive pressure on, because if we didn't get a result out of the two games, we were down.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you compare their 11 against their 11 that day, and who, I mean, their front three were Alan McInally, Brian McLaren, Mo Johnson.
Yeah,
we beat them. And apparently the paper said that me and Ken Eady were better than the three of them. So we'll take that as well. Exactly. Take that as well. And their goal that day shouldn't have been a goal either. They got a penalty. It was never a penalty. You know, and
shock, Sammy.
But aye, that was a big deal that day as well, and probably in the history of the club as aye. Well. You know what I mean? That was great.
So, but you said obviously Simon's up there as sort of one of the best you've played with. Who's the best player you've ever played against, do you think?
Played against, directly against, as a striker playing against a centre half, there's two.
Or any position, really. Just
I think that the best player that I've been on the Parkway is Paul McStay.
Right.
Yeah. Even at the level you played at with him, Sammy, when you were played, come up through the youth system with him, could you tell even then he was an absolute player? Yeah.
Oh, unbelievable. And do you know what? He was as good at 17 or 18 as he was when he was 30.
Yeah.
Or 25 or 26. He was just outstanding. And you know, at a time when, you know, some people think it's no an outstanding player that just holds possession all the time. But he was the first one that I ever seen that, you know, that any time he was under pressure on the park, he would still find his pass, he would still retain possession. And I know some players that are quite capable of doing it, but he done it in a way it was classy. And probably he should maybe, and his career been a wee bit more forward thinking and maybe scored a few more goals and things like that. I know what people said that, but it was outstanding. But the two most difficult centre backs I've come up against was Paul Elliott for Celtic and Terry Butcher for Rangers. Because the two of them had everything that I had nothing on them. You know, my pace, the two of them were lightning fast.
Yeah.
And brilliant in the air. I mean, I was decent in the air for my size.
Yeah.
And would fancy my chances against most to get, you know, get a few headers in a game or whatever. But Butcher and Elliott, I mean, I'm sure I'm probably went through some games against the two without even getting a kick in the ball. They were that good. And good Rangers and Celtic sides, to be fair, as well.
But they
were difficult.
Yeah, what was the best goal you scored, Sammy?
Probably one of my best goals was the week after the hat trick against Raith Rovers when we beat them 7-1. The team that day were outstanding, and I had an absolute holocaust. I believed all my hype for the hat trick and the papers and the interviews and all the rest of it. And I went into that game against Raith Rovers that day and I felt as though my legs didn't belong to me. And I was having an absolute shocker. And I don't know, about 10, 15 minutes into the second half, I'm like, I'm going to get taken off here. And the ball dropped to me about 25 yards outside the box and I had a left foot half volley into the top corner. And I'm thinking, it was just meant to be, you know what I mean? And it got me a big hole, because I could just imagine getting that dressing after like Damon Jeffries giving it, you big heated wee whatever. And I flew into the top corner. But my very, very last goal in professional football for Dumbarton, prior to me having a fallout with him, or the chairman at the time, I must have been 34, 35 years old at the time. My very last game, senior football. And again, it was a half volley with my left foot into the top corner against Brechin at the old Boghead Park, which was a nice one as well.
Wow.
But team goal, definitely my third against Airdrie.
Yeah.
The header, the move was outstanding. And for as good as Airdrie were at that time and on the day, because they were decent on that day when we beat them. The move for that game was frightening. For Big Crawford starting it to me finishing it, it was you know, I've seen some really good goals for Falkirk this season, and I hope some of them are remembered, you know, the way that they were back in the day, because there's been some outstanding goals this season. But that one stands out. And you know, when you've got it on Sports Scene and you've got it for folk to see, it just makes it that wee bit better, I suppose. Yeah.
You still got the VHS then, Sammy? Aye.
Still got it. I think the VHS is all set up for me to watch whenever I feel down about anything. Falkirk don't have a good result, so watch it.
Sammy, you touched on just before we've got one last question for you, but just before we do that, you mentioned earlier, my favourite Super Sammy McGowan goal is that AIB United games where, as you mentioned, with Simon curling the cross in and then the diving header, and then I don't know if you were running towards him or Hope Street, but I was standing in line with where you were running with my dad. Right. You wouldn't have been running to me, but it felt like you were. So that's probably where the kicked in as well.
I think the most surprising thing about that goal that night, Ross, to be fair, was Stainrod actually used his pace to run by somebody before he got the cross in. I think that person he ran by should have retired that night, to be perfectly honest. If Stainrod's running by you, then you'd as well chucking it. The timing was good, and Simon had scored very early on in the game. And, you know, it was written in the stars for us to win comfortably that night, to be perfectly honest, as it was on the Saturday in the Meadowbank game. It was going to happen. You know, I don't know if right now, I think right now we're thinking we're going to Falkirk Stadium and we're expecting the team to win most of the time. But at that time, it wasn't an expectation or hope that we knew we were going to win these games. Yeah. And that's a strange feeling going into a game. It's a great feeling going into a game where you know you're not going to lose it and you're actually going to win it.
Yeah.
And that was the kind of feeling that night against there. But that was a nice goal. That, again, as I said earlier on, you know, I knew where Simon was putting that. I knew he was going to show off. And the reason I probably didn't go and celebrate with him was he'd have been away celebrating himself for his cross with the outside his right.
Brilliant. And just finally, Sammy, what was your favourite Brockville memory?
Probably after winning the league that night, even though I didn't play against Meadowbank. We were treated like kings after the game. You know, there was no expense spared, and I know it's not about money and things like that, but sometimes it's just nice to be made feel special. And that night the club made us feel really, really special. We celebrated with all the players for the reserve team and the YTS, you know, the young apprentices and things like that, who I've kept in touch with a few of them over the years as well. And for them to be involved that night as well after the game at and obviously it was David Holmes that was there at the time as well, which made us feel like a bigger club than what we were probably. My best Brockville memory was that night after that game, just we were a proper team for the full season, and it kind of showed in the way we celebrated after it, I think. So you know that I know that's no one that the fans get to be involved in and things like that, but that was it was dead special to us.
Brilliant. Well, listen, it's been an absolute delight to speak to you, Sammy. Ross is this is like me with Tam Lang. He's just a quivering wreck there, waiting to chat to you. But it's been an absolute delight, and we're glad we've got you on Falkirk Daft after you missed out in the Fortress Brockville night. And hopefully get you. But I think there's probably a lot more stories to tell and a lot more.
Absolutely.
So we'll need to get you back on at some point. And but do you know what? It'd be great to get you on to get your perspective next time you're at a Falkirk game, and come on and you can give us your perspective on one of the games. That'd be brilliant.
Absolutely, that'd be good, pal. Yeah, I'll look forward to that. And it's been a delight speaking to the two of you. Honestly, great.
Fantastic. Listen, Dyke, that's been a very special edition of Falkirk Dad with the Ginger God himself, not Ross. Mr. Sam McGivern, as Falkirk Daft meets Sam McGivern. Thank you very much for listening or watching, and we'll see you on the next one.